Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. We'll be reading from verses 1 to 4. Matthew 8. 1 to 4. This is the reading of God's Word. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Let's pray. Lord, you've come down from heaven. And many of us, like the leper, have come to worship you. We've asked, "Lord, have mercy." And you're willing. But many don't know you. You've come down from heaven, but they have not come to you as of yet. Lord, we pray that you would use this worship service, that you would use the preaching of your word and the songs that we sing in the fellowship of the saints to draw them into relationship with Christ. Oh Lord, have mercy on us and help us, like the leper, to worship you. This we pray in your name. Amen. Last week I introduced you to the leper, whose disease made him a pariah and an outcast. Not only was leprosy and is leprosy horrible because it's debilitating and disfiguring, but because the leper was in effect exiled from the worshiping community of Israel. He was quarantined and made to live in isolation, forsaken, as it were, by family and friends, separated from loved ones and from the community in which they once lived and thrived. I don't know about you, but the effect of loneliness itself would be enough to kill me. As leprosy sets in, its victims are disfigured. Their appearance is unappetizing, repulsive even. The leper was despised and rejected by men. If you were to see a leper advanced in their leprosy, you would be disgusted. You would turn your face away in horror. And if you were close enough, you would no doubt be repulsed by the smell of rotting flesh. Once a leper was diagnosed, according to Mosaic law, Leviticus 13, he or she was made to live in isolation. They were pronounced unclean, thus a contaminant to society. When in public, according to the law, the leper was to cover their mouth and call out, "Unclean, unclean," so as to warn those around them, so as to alert the public of their presence, whereby those around them would no doubt scatter and steer clear from the infected. Last week, I introduced you to what we're going to finish today. The stage is set. Having preached the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, as our text reads, descended from the mount. And now, at eye level with the people, the multitudes swarm around him. Many of them were left in the silent shock of astonishment, having heard the word of God. And all of a sudden, there's a disturbance in the crowd. The throaty, raspy cries of a leper making his way through the multitudes, making his way to Jesus Christ. And while the people scatter, Jesus doesn't so much as flinch. Having come out of the isolation of quarantine, the leper's presence is disturbing, offensive even. Having listened to the preacher preach, the word of God irresistibly drew the leper out of the shadows and into and towards the light, toward Christ. His direction is clear, verse 2. "Behold, a leper came and worshiped him. You can imagine the multitudes stepping aside, a path clearing. And having caught eyes, the leper approaches. He approaches the preacher. His raspy cries lull, unclean, unclean. In shame and reverence, he hangs his head low. Mark's gospel tells us that he falls on his leprous knees at the feet of Jesus. Unclean, unclean. Church, he came worshiping. He came worshiping. In study, I asked myself, what does this man's worship look like and sound like? What does it look like? And I'm convinced that his worship of Jesus Christ was composed of a declaration of his uncleanness, his filth, unclean, unclean, interrupted by the occasional, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Unclean, unclean, Lord, if you are willing, until his desperate cries and confessions, until his worship leads him to his Lord, upon which his importunate cries turn into soft and reverent, desperate declarations of worship. He doesn't need to shout anymore. He's standing right before his Lord. He need not cry, but fall on his knees. And so his worship goes on. Unclean, unclean. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And there, as he lay low in the dust, the leper worshiped. It's important for us to note that lepers were outcast and exiled from public life, and thus outcast and exiled from public worship. The leper was exiled from the worship services of Israel, from the temple and the synagogue. But while our leper may have been prevented from worshiping in the temple or in the synagogue, he knew, just as the Word of God teaches, that all true worship is first and foremost before the Lord, humbled on our knees, leprous though we be. He knew, just as we do, that all true worship is before Jesus Christ. As Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, the Father seeks worshipers whose worship is neither here nor there. But God seeks for worshipers who worship in the Spirit and by the truth. By the Spirit of God and by the truth of God. In church, we've learned a lot from our leper friend here. From his theology. Last week I introduced you to the outline that we're about to finish right now. Firstly, the leper. The leper. Secondly, the Lord. And finally, the law. The leper, the Lord, and the law. And friends, it's the leper who recognizes the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so his worship is entirely appropriate. He recognized that the one whom he was kneeling before was the Lord. And so nothing could prevent him from worshiping. He was kneeling before the temple of God himself, before the Holy of Holies himself, before incarnate God, before the Lord himself, who is the meeting place between God and man. Jesus Christ is the mediator. And so we see the lepers worshiping at the feet of his Lord. And if we were among the watching multitudes, the unfolding drama would have instantly riveted our attention. Perhaps we would have feared for Jesus' sake. I mean, what if Jesus is contaminated? What if he's defiled? What if Jesus is infected? Jesus, be careful. Keep a safe distance. But in our ignorance of who Jesus really is, it's precisely at those moments that we realize that the leper knows more than we do. Jesus was not made unclean by dwelling with the unclean. To the contrary, he made the unclean clean. The presence of the leper did not contaminate Christ. Jesus was not defiled, but he came to be among the leprous, the diseased, and the sick. He came to make the filthy clean and to call sinners to repentance. The leper knew this, else he would not have come. He would not have stepped forward and confessed and worshiped. Non-Christian, Jesus Christ is Lord. You unbelieving non-Christian, you need to step forward, as it were, confessing, repenting, trusting, and worshiping him. Confessing your need, recognizing and bowing to his lordship. And if not, then you cannot and will never be a Christian. But I am optimistic. My hope is in the Lord, who is abundant in mercy and steadfast love. And perhaps that's why you're here today. Perhaps you know, as well as the leper does, that you are in need of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you have joined us for worship because you too would like to come to Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you. Don't hesitate to ask the person who brought you or the person who greeted you today when you came in. Don't hesitate to ask any one of the leaders, myself. Ask about how you can become a Christian, and we'll walk with you. We'll bring you to Jesus Christ. We will talk you through the gospel and introduce you to the one who healed us of our leprosy, Jesus Christ. And though flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, Jesus Christ is without sin. Jesus Christ, by the power of his divine holiness, by his righteousness, he cleanses us and makes us clean. And so by clothing us in his holiness, not our own, by imputing his righteousness to our account, which we, when we believe and repent of sin, will be given as a free gift. Jesus Christ says to us, "Be ye holy as I am holy. Be thou clean." And beloved, the leper knew this. The leper recognized his Lord. Again, the text says this: he worshiped him. The leper worshiped Jesus Christ. And we read that the first word that comes out of his mouth was a declaration of who he believed Jesus was. He is Lord. The deity of Christ is at the heart of Christianity. The question, who is Jesus Christ? Who is Christ? Is critical. The answer to that question is determinative. The answer to that question is definitive. There is no question of greater importance. Who is Jesus Christ? We do not want to play fast and loose with that question. Beloved, the first 400 years of church history after the apostles was spent fighting off Christological heresies, declaring and defending the deity of Christ. He is Lord and Savior. Hear it today. He is Lord and Savior. And the order of those appellations is exactly right. He is first and foremost Lord. For if he were not Lord, then he could not be Savior. And so we must maintain that order. Without it, we destroy the gospel. If he be not Lord, then there is no salvation in his name. If he be not Lord, then not a one of us is saved. And all hope for fallen humanity is lost. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Son of God, and the Savior of all who come to him confessing his deity and bowing the knee to his lordship, worshiping at his feet. The leper knew who Jesus was. What of you? What of you, non-Christian? Who is Jesus Christ? And so we see that the leper's Christology was orthodox. It was absolutely biblical. And while he kneels before his Lord, needy and helpless and vile. This man makes no requests. There are no requests in his worship. Sure, he wanted to be healed, but he does not explicitly ask Jesus for healing. Did you notice that? Sure, a request may be implied in his words, but it's not explicit. Rather, the leper acknowledges the sovereign will of Christ. Look at verse 2. If thou art willing. If you're willing. And so he submits to the sovereign will of Jesus Christ, speaking in the hypothetical. If you are willing. As if to say, if you're not willing, then it's all good. You are Lord. Do as you will, for all you will is good. If thou art willing, and if not, he says, who am I? I'm a wretch. By implication, it's as though the leper is okay and willing to remain leprous if that was his Lord's will. Singing, as it were, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. He claims no rights. There is no sense of entitlement in his voice. His first concern was not his own welfare, but the will and glory of God. His first concern. And what follows is a confession of Christ's power. If you are willing, by implication, then you can make me clean. He confesses and submits to Christ's will and declares his power. You can make me clean. Do you see, beloved? The leper recognizes his Lord. He submits to his will and acknowledges the sovereign power of God. He says, I know that you are able, that you can make me clean. Whether you do it or not is not my prerogative. But know, Jesus, that I believe in you, and I know who you are. So I humbly cast myself before you in worship. Not my own will, but thine be done. Beloved, that's faith. Faith is the absolute conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord. That he is able, coupled with a humble submission to his sovereign will and the exercise of his power. And so there's no presumption in this man's worship. He does not assume or expect anything from Christ. Just humble submission and recognition of Jesus Christ, his will and power. Would to God that our worship were as this man's. In church, we learn a lot about our Lord through the leper and through his theology. We learn about God's will. We learn about his sovereign power and our relationship to it. But please take note of the confidence expressed in the leper's words. You can make me clean. Friends, we learned last week as Basil prayed that leprosy was incurable, at least naturally. Therefore, after diagnosis, the leper was cast out of the community to live out the rest of his or her life in isolation as the leprosy took its course. Beloved, last week we also learned that there are two chapters in the Mosaic Law devoted to leprosy, Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14. Leviticus 13 was the instruction manual, the protocol, if you will, to be followed by the priest in diagnosing all cases of leprosy. Leviticus 13 was the procedural manual, if you will, that the priests followed in diagnosis, in determining whether someone was a leper or not. Have you ever been diagnosed with something? Any of you? Perhaps a loved one? You reflexively become an expert in that condition. You saturate yourself in the literature. You ask friends and families. You ask other doctors. You get a second opinion. You see a specialist. Friends, if Leviticus 13 and 14 were the chapters of Scripture devoted to leprosy, then I imagine that this leper, our leper, was very familiar with Leviticus 13 and 14. And I am sure he pored over those chapters. He knew that Leviticus 13 dealt primarily with diagnosis. And I'm quite certain that he was also very familiar with Leviticus 14, the very next chapter, which deals with the cleansing of a leper, which deals with the miraculous healing of a leper. And our leper friend, he knew as well as anybody in his day that no one in the history of Israel was ever healed of leprosy, cured and cleansed, except for Miriam, Moses' sister. Our leper knew, just as well as all lepers did in a similar predicament, that Leviticus 14 does not happen. And so Leviticus 14 was altogether inapplicable. It was immaterial, the extraneous portion of the Mosaic law, because no one ever got healed. And so for thousands upon thousands of years, the priests of Israel, the physicians of Israel, if you will, they need not turn to Leviticus 14. It was immaterial. Because once a leper, always a leper. There was no healing, no cleansing. In fact, there were no case studies, no examples to be followed. And so Leviticus 14 was altogether non-functional. But, if you were diagnosed with leprosy, you too would read chapters like Leviticus 14. And no matter how improbable or how unlikely, you wouldn't be able to help but to hope. Perhaps the leper of Matthew 8 listened to the Sermon on the Mount. He recognized Jesus' clear understanding of God's law, namely the Mosaic law, and said to himself, if anyone understands and fulfills God's law, it's him. Jesus himself declared at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, I am the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He said, I came not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. I am the fulfillment. And so this man's only hope was in Leviticus 14, the cleansing of a leper, which up to this point has gone unfulfilled in the history of Israel. And if the leper was familiar with the law, he was also familiar with the prophets, both of which foretold of a day when Messiah would come, who would give sight to the blind, who would heal the lame, cleanse the sick and infirm, and even raise the dead. The days of Messiah were foretold in the law and the prophets. And if there was any hope for Israel, for the leprous, it was in the Messiah. It was in Christ. Beloved, this man's profession is no superficial profession of faith, but rich and full and informed. This leper knew who he was kneeling before. He says, you are Lord. In effect, you are able to do Leviticus 14. I know it. You are the fulfillment of law and prophets. You are the Christ, the long-expected Messiah, our only hope and my only hope. If you are willing. And our Lord up to this point has not so much as flinched as of yet. Now then, the leper's confidence in the person and power of Christ, his submission to Christ's will, is matched. I love this. It's matched by our Lord's willingness and compassion. Not simply to respond, but look at verse 3. By putting out his hand and touching the man. And we're there. You can hear the sighs, the fearful sighs in the crowd. Oh no, Jesus, don't touch him. He's infected. Jesus reaches out his hand and places it on this man's infected body. Perhaps it had been years since he had felt the touch of another. Perhaps it had been years since he was touched. Beloved, the leper's worship and submission is matched by our Lord's mercy and grace. And Jesus, now with his hand on the leper's head, as it were, responds. I love this. He responds in the leper's words, as if to say, friend, you took the words right out of my mouth. He says, if you are willing, you can. And Jesus responds and said, I am willing. Be thou clean. And immediately the text says, without delay, as quick and as simply as the word was spoken, be cleansed. This man was healed. No fantastical show. No display, no trumpets. Jesus didn't wait for the heavens to part or the earth to shake. There's no guitar softly playing in the background. None of that. Just simple words. Just a touch. Simple but powerful and effective. I am willing. And beloved, the will of Christ is absolute. For it is the will of God. I am willing. There's nothing as powerful or as potent as the omnipotent word and will of God. He speaks, and it absolutely is. Verse 3, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew Henry, the old Puritan commentator, 17th century, writes this. Here is a word of kindness. I will. I am willing to help thee, as thou art willing to be helped. They who by faith apply themselves to Christ for mercy and grace may be sure that he is willing, freely willing, to give them the grace and mercy they come to him for. Beloved, Jesus' great purpose is not to cleanse us of sickness, but of sin. Sin is worse than leprosy. Leprosy may destroy our flesh, but sin kills and destroys our souls. Sin damns our souls. And so the healing of the leper is as an illustration. Jesus has come to cleanse us of sin and to restore us to God. Non-Christian, no sin is so great, but there is a sufficiency in his righteousness to atone for it. No corruptions too strong, but that there is sufficiency in his grace to subdue it. Non-Christian, come to Christ today. Come to him as Lord. And as dramatic as the scene was before the leper was healed, can you imagine the impact his healing must have had on the crowds? How startled they must have been to see at one moment a deformed, shriveled, scaly, sore-covered derelict prostrate in the dust, suddenly stand up, smooth-faced, unscarred, hair restored, eyes brightened, cleansed, and revived, standing before Jesus Christ. Finally, verse 4, the law. The law. The leper the Lord, and now the law. Jesus instructs this man in verse 4. He says this, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded." And here it is, the all-important phrase, as a testimony to them, as a witness to them. And this is where the rubber meets the road. If you haven't already connected the dots, let me do it for you right now. Why did Jesus instruct this man to present himself to the priests, to go to the temple and offer the gift commanded in the law? Why? Why doesn't he just cut him loose and let him go? Well, he gives us the answer in verse 4. As a testimony to them, so that you, Mr. Healed Leper Man, might stand before the priests as living proof, as a witness to them of who I am. So that you might present yourself, and so that they might know me as you know me, as Messiah, as Lord. Can you imagine now with me this once leprous man returning to the very priests who diagnosed him so many years ago? Returning to the same spot in the temple precinct where he was pronounced unclean and then sent into exile. Can you imagine? Now cleansed, the leper shows up, big old smile on his face. The priests, upon recognition of who this man was, that he was cleansed and restored, they must have looked at each other, confused, dumbfounded. What now? What's next? What do we do? I didn't learn this in priestly school. These aren't part of my priestly duties. We never had lab on the cleansing of a leper. Until it dawned on them. Leviticus 14. And it was there and then that the priests of Israel, for the first time in history, opened and applied Leviticus 14, the once inapplicable, the once immaterial as far as practicality was concerned, the impractical portion of the law. Jesus instructs the leper, verse 4. He says, don't tell anybody. Don't talk. Don't stop to smell the roses. Handle your business. Your cleansing speaks for itself. You see, Jesus had plans and purposes for this man. His miraculous healing was designed to preach a message, to testify, the text says, to the priests and to all of Israel. And you can imagine the dramatic impact of showing up at the temple cleansed of leprosy. The dramatic impact it must have had on the priests. The jaw-dropping impact this must have had on the priest as they began then to probe and ask questions. It's as if Jesus is saying and has said to the leper, tell them who cleansed you. Tell them that there is none among the people of Israel who does what no priest could ever do and has ever done. And let it remain on record as a witness of my power and of my person, as a testimony of me for them, that Messiah is come. According to Leviticus 14, if you go back and read it, the protocol and procedure to be followed before receiving the pronouncement of clean and undefiled was an 8-day process. 8 days. This guy was like a freak. No cases. He was an anomaly. 8 days to think through and mull over the implications of this man's healing. And beloved, if we can connect the dots in 40 minutes and recognize what's at stake, then what of the temple priests? It was well known among the Jews that such healings would characterize the ministry of Messiah. And what's more is that the priest would have turned to the 14th chapter of Leviticus and said to themselves, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And so we see, beloved, as they did that day in living color, that Jesus came not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. So that what was once unfulfilled and inapplicable finds its ultimate meaning and fulfillment in Christ. Non-Christian, what will you do with what you've heard and seen today? The word of the living Christ stands as witness, as a testimony today. And here's your room full of healed lepers. Your room full of worshiping lepers kneeling, as it were, before Christ the Lord. What of you, non-Christian? Who has believed this report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord, to whom has the power of the Lord been revealed? Church, do you know what the priests of Israel did with the leper cleansing Messiah? Do you know what they did? They killed him. They crucified him. But while they meant it for evil, God meant it for good. As the sacrificial Lamb of God who was pierced for our transgression, punished for our iniquities, God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so, miracle of miracles, he takes away sin so that we might present ourselves before God in Christ by his sacrifice, holy, acceptable, cleansed, and healed. Non-Christian, come to Christ today, and you too will become a walking testimony of the grace of God in Christ. I end with the words of John MacArthur. Becoming a Christian is not getting on a bandwagon of religious sentimentality. It is facing, confessing, repenting of sin, and bringing it to the Lord for cleansing. True conversion takes place when people like the leper, when desperate people, come to Christ, humbly confessing their need and reverently seeking salvation and cleansing. Without pride, without self-will, no rights, no claims to salvation, only the grace of God to claim. They come believing that God can and will save as they place their trust in Christ. End quote. Non-Christian, come to Christ today. Christian, come to Christ today. Let's pray. Lord, we all, as leprous with sin, have come to our Lord, Christ who fulfills the law. And so we hear the command, be ye holy as I am holy. And powerless, we present ourselves before the Holy One, who says to us, be holy. and immediately. Upon repentance and faith, we are made as holy as he is by his holiness. O Lord, marvelous mercy, that you would love and cleanse a sinner condemned unclean. We thank you for your grace. Help us to sing now together that you would get the worship. We come to you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.